week, my fiancé and I got into an interesting argument. So, as a kid, we both loved those choose-your-own-adventure books, right? Where it was like, turn to page 12 if you want to go up the mountain, turn to page 40 if you want to go into the cave. And I said to him, pretty nonchalantly, oh yeah, I loved those books. And I would thumb through page 12 and page 40 and decide which was the better option, and then keep going in the story. The look on his face was pure disgust, pure contempt. Sandra, that is not how you read choose your own adventure books. You make your choice. And if you end up isolated on a desert island alone, your only option is to start from the beginning and go again. That wasn't how I read those books. And when I look at the scripture today, I wish I could choose my own adventure. I wish I could choose my own ending. But there's a passage that ends this story that our lectionary did not include. So I want us to explore together why that is and what that means for us. So we're going to do something we don't always do. We're going to open our Bibles in the pews. So there's one on each other side. Find the scripture for today, 1 Kings. If I was in the worship with Ames with the children, I would be asking, is that the Old or the New Testament? So we're in the Old Testament. And actually, I'll give you all a helpful hint. It's on page 283 is where we begin. Sometimes when we are reading our Old Testament, it can seem like a really long story that we don't understand. So let's figure this out together. So it starts on the top of a mountain. Exactly. It starts at the top of a mountain. The ancient Hebrew people knew and believed that we are closer to God when we are lifted up. So here they are. They are assembled. And the ruler called Elijah, the God of Israel and the prophets of Baal, up. Because the king is exhausted. The king says, stop bickering. I don't really care. Is it the God of Israel? Is it Baal? I don't know. You guys figure it out. So we see here a very interesting passage that we'll come back to. Verse 21. On this mountain, assembled to figure out who is the right God, how long will you go limping with two different opinions? We'll come back to that. So the scene unfolds. Elijah says, all right, you guys get a bull. We get a bull. You can even pick what bull we get. Whoever lights on fire first, your God is the new winner. It kind of sounds like a weird playground game, right? Like whoever's ball bounces higher, you're the best, and your God is the only true God. A little bit of a stretch. And then Elijah does something that for me, when I first read it, doesn't sound like something a prophet does. Elijah starts mocking the other people, the other worshipers, the other prophets of Baal. He even goes so far in one of the phrases, he mocks them, starting at verse 27, cry aloud, surely he is God. Either he's meditating or he's wandered away. So Elijah is saying, hey guys, your God is not showing up. And that phrase, he has wandered away, fun ancient Hebrew fact, that phrase is saying your God went to the bathroom. Your God is so terrible that while you are crying out to him, he wandered off and took a potty break. Doesn't sound like what we know as prophecy. So he continues. The worshipers of Baal continue to try to get their altar to light fire, and it doesn't. So Elijah actually does the heavy lifting. He has to tell people repeatedly. We see in this story how our ancestors told from an oral tradition, right? Like, go do this. Okay, and then they did that. And then go do this. And then they did that. That's how we tell stories. That's what this is, a story. So we come to the triumphant end, where God lights this altar on fire to prove that God is God. And where our story ended in the reading and the scripture continues is verse 40. If this were a choose-your-own-adventure book, I wouldn't choose verse 40. Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." And then they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi Kishon and killed them there. Changes the story. Our prophet, this person that we look to God, kills the competition. I wouldn't want to choose verse 40. But this whole book is our story. So what do we do? What do we do when our scripture doesn't fit the neat little box we like of faith? The first thing we must do is be honest. I got into an interesting argument with one of my professors as we were studying the story of Noah's Ark in Genesis. If you do a not even super careful reading, there are two accounts of this story that are woven together. So we teach children that the animals came on the ark two by two, but if you go a few verses later, they came on seven by seven. And my professor said, "But don't tell the kids that." And pretty loud in class, I said, "Tell the kids that." We need to be honest that our book is full of stories that are confusing, that are messy, that don't quite make sense. Because it is only when we are honest that we get to come together and actually do this thing called church. It is only then that we will stop limping in two directions. When I look at how the media portrays Christianity, I see us limping. I see us limping between the right and the left, not knowing where we're going. And we need to be honest to become united. And that's what we believe here. We're the United Church of Christ. We are a people who have this crazy notion that all may be one. That we will not continue to be divided, but that we will be united under Christ's rule. But we can only come together when we are honest about our messy stories. Because when we are honest, when we come together, it is in this real place that we get to remember that we worship God. We don't worship Elijah, but we worship God. We worship a God that is big enough to be in the mess. And this story reminds us that God is also in the miracle. God is in the miracle in this story in a bull barbecue. And that might not be how we see miracles today. When we come together and worship, miracles look a little different. When we are honest, when we come together, we participate in a miracle. And it is messy. So Natalie, welcome to Christ's church. I can guarantee you that here we will be honest about our stories. We will do it together, and we will sing, and we will rejoice, and we will be together as one. Because here we worship the God of the mess. And we worship the God of the miracle. Thank you. Amen.